Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Friday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I mean, how could you not have a happy Friday starting with that kind of energy?
Yes,
that's
sir.
What we're hoping to continue all throughout the show before we hand it off to the fellas of the drive who've got, you know, a football Friday out at, I believe it's BB's over there in Katy. They got the giveaway of the pint glasses with our faces on them this time around.
Hey now.
And so we just got to bridge the gap. And how we do that, we have a lot of fun talking about some football. We get you your college football headline later on. We talk to B. Scott. We do that question of the day, talking about your interactions with the police. But we start by talking about your Houston Texans. We're gearing up for a Monday Night Football game. Obviously, we get to be a part of the co-main events on the weekend of Week 2 NFL football. But as we are working our way there, we finally are getting some practice. We got to practice injury reports, things of that nature. And obviously, we get to hear from the coach of the team, the quarterback of the team. And there was something that happened yesterday with D'Amico that, that kind of caught some attention. It seemed like when he was asked about Nick Caley, and we'll hear that here in a second, he might have taken a little bit of the onus off of him. Is this fair or foul?
Nick did a good job, right, with the play calls. At the end of the day, we all have to just put ourselves in position where we can actually call the game, right? We're behind the sticks a lot, shot ourselves in the foot a lot, where we're in second and long, and just third and long a lot. That's not a great place to be as a first-time play calling your first game. So if we can play well together and stay on schedule, stay on track, then we can see how the game is called.
What is he talking about there? Who is he talking about there? We have to put ourselves in position to call a good game. Everybody?
I think there's a little bit of everybody. Clearly, there we could talk about the penalties with the offensive line. We could talk about, I mean, obviously the quarterback's going to have to deal with some of this because I think getting to the line was part of this somewhat. Getting to the line, giving CJ the opportunity to make some of the calls, and that kind of set them behind sometimes. But yeah, that feels like an everybody effect. Just to get to the question, right, the fair or foul, I do think that there's some fair within this. Nick Caley is in an unenviable position.
Sure.
In some regards. His predecessor has created a – this is a word that is a little – it's a little charged, but I'm going to go ahead and use it and hope you understand what I mean. This is an environment that's a little toxic because of Bobby Slowick's tenure. Not necessarily specifically Bobby Slowick, but we could just say – the tenure that was here. And now you're in this context where you're like, we need to see something from the offense from a dude who is coming in and starting his journey as a play caller. Hell, he talked to us on that sideline at training camp telling us that this is the first time that he's calling plays, right? There is a learning curve that exists, and I think for a head coach, it is incumbent upon you to protect your staff, and some of that is keeping some of the expectations there. At the same time, though, he's a leader on that side. And so there is some onus on him that I think should be there that is probably that probably doesn't jump out to you in that answer.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because he said, quote, Nick did a good job. And then he said, we got to put ourselves in a position to actually call the game. So I'm kind of in the same boat as I heard that. That's kind of everybody needs to do their job. But what if we drill down a little deeper?
Let's go ahead and drill
in. What if we drill down a little deeper and ask specifically about the offensive line? Specifically,
this is D'Amico 8 here.
I thought our offensive line did a good job. Again, in the game, we can help ourselves by stepping up in the pocket on a couple of the sacks that happened. But again, I thought we had clean pockets versus the Rams as well. So, there are a lot of good things that happened versus the Rams. It's just, they made more plays than we made. And that's the bottom line. You know, we hurt ourselves in the red zone defensively. We were down in the red zone 3 times. 2 times we gave up touchdowns in the red zone, right? We stop them. We make them kick field goals there, right? We're sitting here telling a different story. So, again, it'll always be about us and what we do, how we execute. We execute the right way. We'll put ourselves in favorable position to win games.
All right, so he said Nick did a good job. And then you drill down a little further, and he said the offensive line did a good job. And then he said, we have to step up in the pocket.
All of us. We all have to step up in the pocket.
We have to step up
Blake
in the
Fisher,
pocket.
Blake Fisher, step up in the pocket, big dog.
And help.
Nico Collins, step up in the pocket, brother.
So Nick did a good
Dare,
job.
Dare, why are you not stepping up in the
Dare,
pocket?
Dare, step up. Nick did a good job. The offensive line did a good job, according to the head coach. And we have to step up in the pocket. We have to help ourselves. He's not talking about all of us, Reggie. He's not talking about all of us. He's talking about one dude.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, that's C.J. Stroud, quarterback of the team. And I'm sure there's
I thought he was talking about Dameon Pierce.
He probably should step up in the pocket, though. I feel like everybody, we should be seeing a lot of stepping up in the pocket from all the people on the offensive side of the football. No, you're right. Like, there is absolutely more responsibility that he's placing on C.J. And I kind of find that, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening. They're like, yeah, he deserves to have more of the responsibility. You are asking him to do more of the things. I kind of find that surprising, though, because in the same way we talk about Nick
Because
Haley,
of DeMeco, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we're talking about with Nick Haley and trying to kind of shield him from the, you know, as he's trying to step into a role that, you know, he is figuring out. CJ is also doing some of that, of stepping into this role. And I don't think he's wrong in saying CJ needs to step up into some of these clean pockets when he has the opportunity. He mentioned the three drives where they didn't score. I mean, the first one where they kicked the field goal, rather, where they're in the red zone. The first one, I'm looking at my notes. First down is like there's an unblocked edge, and then you have a couple of – you have a rush that goes nowhere, so you're in a third and seven, and the ball is a little tough. It's not a great ball to Dalton Schultz, but that's a third and seven where you're in a tough situation. I mean, I could look at probably another I'm going to go back and look through all of these possessions that end up flailing, but ultimately I'm seeing things and I'm going, there's a lot of places where CJ was let down. And so now, are we making the expectation that CJ has to be the guy that fixes all of the answers right now?
That's a great question. And this may surprise you. I am right there with you. I kind of like that this is happening. That he said, well, it wasn't Nick. This is essentially what he said. It wasn't Nick. It wasn't the offensive line. That kind of narrows it down now, doesn't it? I kind of like that, because here's what I think they're really saying, more so behind closed doors, my opinion, than really a very candid for DeMeco Ryans. He protects his players like he does his 401k. I mean, he doesn't touch it. You know, he doesn't touch that, you know, throwing players under the bus very often. But he did kind of point to C.J. Stroud here. So I think what's going on is they're basically saying, in so many words, or maybe even in the words, hey, this is what you wanted, big fella. This is what you wanted. Now do it.
But
now,
is it what, like, more responsibility is absolutely what he wanted, 100%. Yeah. And he said as much a number of times. If we're talking about what C.J. Stroud, from what we know of him as a quarterback, wants in an offense, is it this now offense?
Now that is a different topic.
Is it ball control running the football?
Yeah, no, you are. You know what might be happening here is C.J. Stroud sees, by the way, FOMO to the nth degree last night, sees people like Jordan Love, you know, sees people like all the quarterbacks in Minnesota that have gone through there, from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold to now J.J. McCarthy, and he thought, I want more control so I can do that. I want to do that. We have a great defense like Green Bay. We have a great defense like Minnesota. I want to be able to do that. And so they said, yeah, we're going to give you control. Except they're not doing that.
About to say, that ain't the Patriots offense, all those other teams running.
Yeah, and they are running the Patriots offense here based on everything that we've seen and heard, et cetera. So I'm with you. I think they're saying, hey, big fella, you wanted it. You got it. Now execute it. And I don't mind that, to put that on the quarterback, especially your franchise quarterback. But the quarterback might be saying, whoa. That I wanted it, but not this particular thing.
And one thing I will say is CJ seems like he very much is the type of guy that he's like, all right, you give me the challenge, I'll take it on. I kind of don't love that, placing it all on him. And I want to be careful here, because he is talking about those instances of how did the offensive line do? Mm-hmm. And in that specific case, CJ Stroud needs to step up to help them when the tackles are doing the things that they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of space. There's enough space for you to step up into, which he's not wrong about. That is it. But if we're extrapolating this out to, hey, this offense was clearly not good enough, I don't know how much you're just going to go, well, CJ needs to figure all these things out, especially, again, in his maiden voyage of the way that this offense runs.
Mm-hmm.
I know this D'Amico is a protector of his guys.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that there is more that's required of Nick Haley. And I like the idea of protecting him, but the onus does fall on him. And you mentioned Thursday night football. See, I didn't call it Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Last night between the Packers and the Commandos, as I like to call them. And one of the things that you see, as you mentioned, oh, look at Jordan Love going up and down, is you see a coordinator that's giving him the opportunities to do that. That's giving him the things that will create those. And right now, as of right now, you're not seeing that yet. And it's somewhat to be expected with an inexperienced offensive coordinator, but that's also a position that was hired by D'Amico Ryan.
It's an inexperienced offensive coordinator, but it is the offense as much as the coordinator making the calls because the offense doesn't let it rip like that. And it leads to this, and boy, here we are, week two, and I know everything can change 10 times between now and the end of the season, but CJ, I won't say he has to have or it's this, so important, but he could really use a big game on Monday night. He could really use some big chunk plays, as they call them, and all that, just to appease him and to let him feel, okay, this offense will work and I will be able to showcase a little bit.
We've jumped past some things. Can I go back?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's any level of, like, tension within this? Because I know CJ Stroud, when he was asked something of the similar, he's like, nah, we're all in the same boat. We're all just going to go.
Yeah.
And he I think he even went as far as saying, even if we lay another stinker, we're going to come back around and we're all going to, you know, be on the same page, fighting and clawing for what we're doing, in essence, right? That's not an exact quote. Did you get a sense in, because, I mean, piecing these two things together where you go, it's not Kaylee, the offensive line was solid, CJ needs to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Did you feel a little tension there, or is that taking a leap too far?
I don't know if it's taking a leap too far. I think it's a seed right now. It's just a seed that, you know, the first impression, the first, you know, showcase that CJ Stroud had wasn't exactly a showcase. And I think it's just kind of, you know, sitting there right now. That's why he needs to, you know, he needs to blossom a little bit, to use the seed metaphor, but he needs to blossom a little bit week two so he can maybe get that affirmation, that confirmation, that validation.
Yeah, and 281, CJ killed three possessions by his decisions. I'm not here to tell you that he had a perfect game. CJ was pretty good in that game considering the circumstances. And if we're doing this off of just when you have some poor decisions in here, there was also some misses that happened in other places that all compound into you only putting up 9 points. It seems like what we're seeing, at the very least, is the onus is going to fall on CJ's shoulders.
It absolutely
is.
He
welcomes it, and you're going to need to be able to shine through that, as you described. So that's the weekend that you're heading into with CJ Stroud and this Texans team. And look, they still got a couple more days of practice before they get to the place where they can welcome in the Buccaneers on Monday night. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Definitely more to examine from the Texans and where they stand, but also a lot to examine with the Houston Astros after they get a loss, and lo and behold, there is a tie at the top of the AL West. Let's talk about the game that happened yesterday and where the Astros find themselves next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.